What I really want to know was, how is the Steelers game?
Amazing. I got to say, Allegiant is the best in-stadium experience I've ever seen. And it was electric. It was awesome. The fact that you can walk right from the casinos into the stadium, the entire thing, like we were there about 45 minutes early and the entertainment was awesome. The live band was great. You know,
they're good, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing about Vegas is that people don't realize that it's the town in America with the most live performers. Like, I think in terms of like singers, dancers, like people that are
it's proper old school show business. Like when you think of like showbiz, that's Las Vegas, like LA's Hollywood, which is a different thing. Like
stage actors, screen actors, that kind of stuff, like television actors that's who you want to be there. Where in Vegas, it's like, oh, do you just want a gig? Cool. Well, you play three different casinos, 4 days a week and that's it. You make a living. And so like those people are just hanging out. And so for the gig of playing the football games, it was like they had a dude just roll out and sing a great cover of In the Air Tonight, which is like not a easy song to sing. They did a Highway to the Danger Zone. Like it was just great. It was really, really awesome. And the seats that you guys have, we were joking as we were walking in, we're like, all the way up, we're going all the way to the 400 section, but it was perfect. They were like just killer seats.
50 yard line. We love them.
Oh, you can see everything. It's like watching coaches film. It was amazing. You'd see every single play develop. It was fantastic. And then we got the result we wanted and I went 4 for 4 on my football bets. So that was thrilling. Shout out to the Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Steelers, and I forget who the Texans. I had my upset pick, but the Texans, they hit too. So
wow.
Very, very
sounds thrilling. Like you had a great weekend.
Yes. I got murdered in the college bets because me and my brother just got faded in the Circa sports book. And we were like, look, we're just going to make dumb bets. Oh, cause I won $1,000 out of a slot machine on, Friday before my brother got there.
Nice.
That like doesn't happen. How much did you put in?
$3,000.
Yeah, exactly. No, I had 100. I'll just put in 100 and then I'll just kind of bounce around the slot machines and, you know, see how long it goes. But I had a lot of good luck. But yeah, that was the first time that I've ever hit 4 digits on one thing.
I hit the jackpot once on one of the slot machines, but I was in the Hooters casino and it was a penny slot. And so even though I hit it, I won $10. And the way I celebrated, I know you would have thought that I won more than half a chicken sandwich, but yeah, I hit it.
Yeah, no, I usually roll at like $2, $2.50 or $3 per spin. Cause that's the only way that you get like money that you can, you know, buy dinner with.
Yeah.
Which is really my thing.
Look at you.
I think this is the trick is go into gambling with an entertainment budget. Don't think of it as an investment. Think of it as entertainment. And
yes.
Go, I am going to gleefully lose $400 today. Or $50. Like I like going to the horse tracks. I say that I go to the horse tracks once every 4 to 5 years.
But yes.
I'll basically.
But you
go,
like doing it each time.
I like doing it, and I basically, like in my mind, I go, "What would I otherwise spend if I went to a movie and I bought somebody a ticket and mm-hmm. we got food?" And it's like, okay, so it's like maybe $50, $60. I'm like, all right, I'll spend that on horses, and I just go in. It's already a sunk cost. And then I have a lot of fun. And sometimes you make some money. Can I tell you my horse strategy to
yes,
try to win at that?
Please.
You go in and you can spot these guys that like, you know, they're crunching the numbers. They're absolutely like they're in it. Right. You go up to them and you're like, can I borrow your program for a second? And they go, yeah. And you look at it and you go, oh, glue stick. That's a funny name for a horse. I'm going to bet him to place. And then they laugh at you because you don't know anything and the universe punishes them for their hubris and you win. It sometimes works. It's a spite-based gambling strategy that doesn't require math and it works just as much as any other gambling strategy, so why not employ it?
From Austin, Texas, I'm Justin Robert Young. From Sioux Falls, South Dakota,
I'm Jen Briney.
And from Wagner, Oklahoma,
I'm Andrew Heaton.
And we're not wrong. On this edition of the program, we're going to talk about Senator Bob Menendez indicted again. And this time it might be fatal, at least to his political career. And oh, that haughty Canada, always looking down on us, both geographically and emotionally. But not a good week, Canada. A lot of messy drama. We're going to peel back all those maple leafy layers on this edition of the program, along with your emails. Heaton, you're a television star.
I'm a television star now. I expect you guys to treat me with the proper respect that I now deserve. None of this just friendly stuff we've been doing the last 5 years. I don't want any more of that. I want awe from me, Andrew Heaton, who's had one episode of a TV show.
Can we still tell you to shut up when we need to?
Yes, yes. I still have horrible imposter syndrome and just a gaping hole of needs. You could absolutely put your finger in there and run it around whatever you want.
Just because this sort of stuff matters, the show is called Adults Are Talking with Andrew Heaton, and you can watch it currently where?
You can watch it on YouTube or Twitter. So if you go in there and you look for Adults Are Talking with Andrew Heaton, or you could search for Free the People if that is easier for you. But I don't think there's anything quite like, I think Adults Are Talking with Andrew Heaton will get you there. And you could find it on Twitter or YouTube at this time.
So go ahead and make sure, especially the first week, this is when the people that matter tend to pay attention to these sort of things. So please, we're not wrong, faithful. Before we get any further in the show, go support it. It's fantastic. It is a great, great, great example of not only how smart, but funny you are. And I would say probably some of the best produced sketch stuff that I've seen yet.
Thank you. I'm very glad to hear that. I love we do what was basically a sketch based off of a funny wordplay that my friend Jennings came up with that I think looks downright cinematic, where we're playing World War I, World War II soldiers. We have another one where I'm a robot butler and I'm a spy. So basically all of like my little kid impulses combined with my adult comedy impulses have manifested in this. It's great. Everybody, let's watch this so old Heaton can squeeze out as much paid comedy time from this until the turnip runs dry. Because these things are pretty rare in life and they're a lot of fun to make.
So go ahead and head on over there right now. Adults Are Talking. Well, while it was good news for old Andy Heats this week, it was bad news for Bobby Menendez of New Jersey. The senator is alleged to have leveraged his influential position in the Senate to foster corrupt relationships and agreements, particularly befitting the government of Egypt and his associates. The indictment document delineates a series of clandestine operations commencing from early 2018, where Menendez, in collaboration with his wife Nadine, reportedly engaged in illicit activities. These range from sharing sensitive U.S. government information, interfering in criminal investigations, to influencing official nominations, all in a bid to secure personal cash gains, including but not limited to cash, gold, a luxury vehicle, and home furnishings. The indictment unveils a complex web of personal and financial relationships meticulously crafted to conceal these corrupt agreements, with actions spanning over several years and manifesting both domestically and on an international stage, notably affecting U.S. military sales and financing to Egypt. According to the indictment, the extensive efforts to obscure these activities paint a disconcerting picture of how corrupt practices can infiltrate the highest echelons of government, potentially eroding the trust and integrity intrinsic to public office. Now, we don't know where this is going to be by the time you listen to it, because it is a rapidly evolving situation. But over a dozen senators have called for Menendez to resign. Most notably to this point, his fellow New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. We have yet to see Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and notably President Biden make any kind of definitive statement on Menendez resigning. So why wait for them? Let's put it to the We're Not Wrong crew. Jen, Should Senator Menendez resign before his day in court?
Yes, absolutely. I read the indictment not really knowing what to expect, and it was so much worse than I thought it was going to be. The things that he did, some of them are bad, even if he didn't get paid so much money to do these things. Like, for instance, when you say he provided sensitive U.S. government information, he provided the number of personnel and their nationalities that were physically in the embassy in Cairo. Now, that information isn't classified, but it does seem like the type of thing that you should clear with maybe your own committee. He's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He did not do that. And he didn't clear it with the State Department either. He just gave this information to his trash girlfriend, now wife, who gave it to the Egyptians. Well, I mean, this
was that,
woman,
was that listed in the indictment?
Yes. Yes. All over
Nadine,
the place.
Nadine, parenthetical, a trash woman.
It's actually trashé girlfriend. It's a, a Napoleonic code term that slipped into American legal jargon. It's feel free to use it at home, folks.
Yeah. She just seems like a succubus who came in 2 months after Bob Menendez was cleared of his first round of corruption charges in the Justice Department. Within a couple of months, he finds this lady who does so many things. She was unemployed. She gets this no-show job with a friend. And like, this is really how the whole thing started. She had a friend. They used to, and they knew each other for years. This guy, Will, who's an Egyptian national. Will hires her for his company in this no-show job that she gets paid for. And really, she seems like the ringleader for all of this. And the thing she's getting paid for, she starts a consulting company. And by consulting, it basically means she's going to get the guy who is completely whipped, Bob Menendez, to use his Senate power to do things for her friends. It's wild. And and the stuff he does is so bad. So it's like he easily could have put people in danger by giving that information over. He also wrote a letter secretly. He did not put his name on this. On behalf of Egyptians, lobbying other senators for military weapons. So he was literally acting as a lobbyist for the government of Egypt while being the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. That one's crazy to me. And he also pressured a agriculture department official to stop objecting to a monopoly situation. This guy, Will, was the guy that owned the company that got a monopoly contract in Egypt. And the agriculture department was like, well, this is hurting American companies. It's costing them a lot of money. So they were objecting to it. And Senator Menendez intervened on behalf of the company that was hurting American companies to the benefit of this monopoly, which was paying him, or Nadine. So it's like, for this company, Nadine got the, like I said, a no-show job. They were given gold bars, which is just a level of bonkers that I can't even handle. And we know because they were serialized. So there's serial numbers on these that trace them back to the dude that was bribing Bob Menendez. They paid off Nadine's mortgage. $23,000 was the amount of debt that she was in, and they paid it off for her. They gave her a Mercedes Benz, you guys. They gave her a Benz.
Or the Egyptian government, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
It's wild. And that's like not even including the almost $500,000 in cash that they had stuffed in envelopes.
$48,000 in envelopes that had the fingerprints of $480,000 that had the fingerprints of the guy that they have alleged bribed Bob Menendez. Now, Bob Menendez came out at a press conference and said that it was his exiled Cuban heritage that said that he should take money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, out of the bank because he is still scarred generationally from the communist Cuban government, which did indeed seize money and property from those that were not loyal to the incoming regime. He apparently found this such generational pain that he had his friends touch the envelope so they would also learn the lessons of that, those horrible, horrible final days in Cuba.
And did you notice that they found the envelopes stuffed in one of his official congressional jackets?
Yeah, seems a little sloppy from old Bobby. He wasn't sloppy. Exactly. considering the fact that those last charges were dropped, and when you look at the timing, it appears that they might have been dropped just so the Department of Justice could focus on this investigation, which has taken several years to lead up to. Obviously, Heaton, you might have a different opinion. Do you think that Bob Menendez? Well, I mean, look, in all seriousness, these are damning indictments, but they are not vetted in court yet. Why should he resign?
Well, listen, let me tell you this, Justin. Justin, you know how much a senator makes? A senator makes $174,000. You can barely live on that. You can barely live on that.
Not now, in New Jersey.
Now, folks, you folks listening at home. Now, a lot of you now, you got your job, but there's some side perks. Like you get free coffee or Wi-Fi. Now, it's the same with the U.S. Senate. You get Mercedes Benzes and gold bars. And those state secrets, they're yours to do what you want with. Mm-hmm. When you come in, you get those state secrets. That's up to you. Also, you get a side piece, or what we used to call a mistress. That's no longer appropriate. You're supposed to call them side pieces now. Big tits either way, you get that. And some of the things that Jim brought up, I just thought were, maybe, hear me out on this, it's just a coincidence that he took an explicit interest in a monopoly project in Egypt. That could have gone either way. There's no way to know that has some sort of correlation. And then finally, I'm glad you brought up the whole Cuban thing. Y'all's racist. Because Bob Menendez is technically Hispanic, the way all Cuban people kind of can be when they need to. So therefore it's fine. Everybody gets a mulligan. This is a mulligan for old Bob. Good guy.
I mean, although he did get indicted before, so maybe that was his mulligan. Is it a regenerating mulligan, like on an Olympic cycle?
I'm going to have my people read Wikipedia and get to the bottom of this. I promise you that. We're going to get to the bottom of this whole Bob Menendez thing, but I think the main thing right now is keep your eye on the ball. And the ball right now is China or Russia, depending on which party I am.
Heaton, does it surprise you that so many Democrats are calling for him to resign?
No. So first of all, he should resign. The guy's absolutely corrupt. This has been going on for 30 years. It's probably been going on for 40 to 50 years, depending on how long he entered public office. As you rightly point out, Justin, this is not the first indictment Bob Menendez has gone through. I want to say the first one was around 2005 or something like that.
No, it's more recent than that. It wrapped up in the beginning of 2018, I believe, and then he immediately started doing this stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. There's this small part of me that I hate that does admire the just brazen graft. Brazen. Because you could kind of see maybe somebody going, I wasn't going to vote on this bill, but God, that's a powerful action group. Maybe, it's better for me to be in office than no. He's just like, my girlfriend has big tits. I like Mercedes Benz and gold. He is just plowing through there. Very impressive to it. I am pleased with the Democrats for calling on him to resign. I think that's a good thing. Credit to the Democratic Party for doing so.
Fully altruistically. Just absolutely no political motivations. It's not the fact that he's up for re-election in 2024, and that's the only way that they could lose a Senate seat in New Jersey is if super corrupt Bob Menendez is on the ballot and he makes it through the primary. It absolutely has nothing to do that the last thing the Democrats want in the news stream is a Senate Foreign Relations chair who, with somebody connected to him, was selling influence in another country to benefit a monopoly industry, which would be totally unlike Joe and Hunter Biden in Ukraine. They certainly don't want anything like that around. So, yeah, it is truly, you want to know what? Last time that they stuck with him, fully, now they've too much.
Justin, you can always count on the Democratic Party to do the right thing when it's politically advantageous to do so. And I think that you should give him some credit for that.
It has nothing to do with the fact that the first time he was indicted, there was a Republican in charge of appointing the person that would replace him. And time there's a Democrat,
as
governor.
I'm with you both. I'm with you both. I just like it in general. I want to give applause and I want to give credit to politicians when they throw one of their own under a bus. Or that makes it sound more treacherous.
That's murdery.
If parties
no,
are
that's
going
a metaphor.
To police, if they're going to police themselves and they're going to actually go after their own when they do something wrong, that is a behavior that I want to encourage, even if the underlying rationale for it is entirely cynical. I want to give cover to politicians in the future. You get points from me if you are willing to break rank with a member of your party. That's all good stuff.
That's like applauding a dog when he shakes your hand. Like you've trained the behavior to do it. It doesn't mean that he's saying salutations and thank you. It means that there's been enough treats and reinforcement.
I want our politicians to act like trained dogs. I don't want them like going out there.
And that's fine. Then we need to control them like trained dogs as opposed to pretending that there's literally any morality to any of this.
Hold on. Okay. In all seriousness, we've covered a lot of indictments on this show.
Yes.
And Republicans, even though I think the January 6th indictment is very serious as this one, are not lining up and saying Donald Trump shouldn't be our nominee. There's a handful of them, but we now have quite a few Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi now, that are saying that Bob Menendez has to resign. There is a difference here. There is a difference.
No, because they are afraid of losing a Senate seat or one that they'll have to spend a lot of money to do. That's the only reason. Look, if this
they're
were in a different situation,
if
Ciccarelli had won in 2021 and not Phil Murphy, and so there was a Republican in that position, I think that they would be going to the ramparts and defending Bob Menendez.
I know that.
Because there is no honor here. Like, look, if we want to say that the outcome is there, then sure. Look, it is determinative, but like, I don't believe that we should be saying, oh, the Democrats have such a responsibility to this chamber that they are kicking out this ne'er-do-well. Hell no. They want to keep that seat and they don't want to spend money to defend it in New Jersey. So they want to pressure him. Now, whether or not Menendez will bow to the pressure, whether or not this will make whether or not Menendez will make Chuck Schumer say you need to get out, whether or not Menendez will make Joe Biden say you need to get out, whether or not he will ignore them even if they do, that is another question. But I don't give anybody any credit for saying that he should be out beyond the fact that this is clear political calculus.
Well, I mean, I note your cynicism, but I do think there is a difference. Because right now, the fact that most Republicans are standing by Donald Trump, there is no reason to do that. There's no Senate seat that they're protecting. Like, he's a nominee. Like, there isn't any actual power.
They're protecting all of their careers, knowing that their party faithful will throw them out of the bus if they go against him.
Yes. No, there's a lot of political calculus. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, at least the Democrats are doing it. You have to give them credit for what they're actually doing. Like, they actually are in quite a few large numbers saying that Bob Menendez should resign. There is a difference. And I understand the cynicism around it. I just made the same jokes you did, but like they are at least a little bit better.
That their political calculus is different. Yes. They are following the same political headwinds as the Republicans are. It just so happens that these headwinds say Bob Menendez, get the hell out and you need to get out now so we can appoint another senator and we still have a safe blue seat in New Jersey.
But you know what?
Especially in a 50-50 Senate, you know, or whatever the split is now. Like, they need that seat because they're going to lose the Senate in this next upcoming election. What they don't want to do is lose it by a margin for which they will have a hard time recapturing it.
Justin.
Yes.
I have a great idea, and I've got a false positive we can make that will determine who is correct in this, whether this is 100, like real quick, you know, in foreign policy, there's realism and there's international liberalism, and there's all these different schools, right? Everybody kind of agrees that power is the really big thing. And the debate after that is like, yeah, but is there other stuff too? And the realists are like, no, it's all power. And the other ones are like, it's mostly power, but there's also cultural differences or there's economic differences, things like that. Justin, you're like the real politique guy. You're like, no, it's all power. It's all cynicism. Jen's coming in more in one of the other schools going, it's okay, power, but. So here's the test that we can do. Now, yeah. If we go back to the beginning, I guess it was during Me Too when Al Franken got thrown under the bus. A bunch of us were watching that at the time going, all right, this seems like a questionable reason to kick someone out from the Senate. And it seems that it's also a very safe seat. If there were a Republican governor in a situation, probably the Democrats would have not have asked Al Franken to leave because it would not have been politically advantageous. And you would have seen that very strong Me Too showing fail. So here's what the Democrats should do. Appoint Al Franken, senator from New Jersey. That way, he got run over by the bus. Now you're letting him drive the bus, right? And they kicked that guy out. I feel like that would just put a nice little bow on all this.
I do like the idea of bringing comedy back to Congress. It's a good idea. Yeah. But in all seriousness,
I think Menendez is pretty funny.
Menendez is an asshole. I've despised him for a very long time, regardless of his party, because of his enthusiasm for wars.
Other than the massive corruption charges, what do you not like about him? Name one thing besides massive undying corruption.
I mean, just policy-wise, there's no war that this guy isn't a fan of. He's in lockstep with Marco Rubio on that committee.
Hold on. There's a lot of fucking money at war, though, Jen. Can we all calm down for a minute and appreciate the fact that it's you can make a bank off of war?
Well, that's precisely what he's doing. I mean, put the politics aside, because I find that all disgusting anyway. The fact is that we had a man who's the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. He said that he's stepping aside temporarily, or it's not finance, foreign relations.
Foreign relations. Yeah.
Temporarily stepping down. Who's giving away government secrets, lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. I mean, these are so serious and they go directly to his job. And so I just think that the charges are so serious that anyone who doesn't say that he has to resign, regardless of the politics around it, I think there's a major problem here. Because the other thing he's saying is like, well, the thing that's going to exonerate me is that these prosecutors just aren't acknowledging just the realities of the job in Congress. And if this is what he or anyone else in Congress thinks is the job, like this is a normal part of the job, that's a huge problem from the American people. Like, this guy needs to find some kind of accountability for this shit. Even to just serve as an example for everybody else. I mean, Justin, you said it perfectly when you said he's sloppy. And the analogy that's been running through my head is, and I know I've brought him up before, but Aaron Hernandez was a murderer from the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And he, as a college student,
sterling example of Patriots culture.
Shut the fuck up. but he had murdered people as a college student, got away with it. He was involved in a drive-by in Boston, got away with it. And then by the time he actually got caught, he was spitting out his gum next to the body, just got super sloppy. And at this point, Bob Menendez is spitting out his gum next to the body. Like, at what point do we say enough?
I agree with Jen. America deserves a better quality murderer and a better quality senator. America should have the smartest murderers in the world. When you watch those Netflix specials, you're like, Jesus Christ, took him 45 years to catch that guy. That's the level of education and prowess I take from our criminals.
When you're selling influence abroad, you should create 12 shell companies and make sure that you're never on the phone talking about business, that you're only just calling in on speakerphone to say hi when the foreign business people are there. That's the kind of quality assurance that makes you president and not a criminal.
To hook into Jen's statement, though, on the Foreign Relations Committee, if I were any other country in the world and I were interacting with Bob Menendez, I would go, oh, good. Oh, thank God. man, so the Americans are full of shit. Okay, good. Because it's very difficult to look at Bob Menendez and then look at American foreign policy and go, ah, yes, the shining city on the hill. It's all based on the liberation of the people and you know, peace and prosperity for all. That's definitely what's going on here. Unfortunately, I think that is much, 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 much wider than Bob Menendez. And I'm very suspect of American foreign policy in general, but I would not think he would be a good, on the one hand, like there might be dictators that are like, I can do business with that guy. That might be a slight benefit to him, but definitely if anybody believes in American foreign policy having any type of ethical or moral bearing, Bob Menendez really shouldn't be involved in it.
Well, and he should be punished for it to show that America doesn't stand for this. So, I mean, I'm glad that the Justice Department's going forward, but if he's allowed to keep his position of power in the meantime, like, what does that say about us?
Well, I mean, all right, let's as much as these indictment, the charges in these indictments to us read as credible, the fact that this is the second time around on similar charges, because the last time he got rung up, it was a very similar pay-to-play scheme, but with his doctor friend in Florida. They read well to us. Is there something to be said for due process?
There is, but you don't have a right to be a United States senator. So I just think that, you know, looking at these charges, the number of calls that he was physically there for, the meetings that took place in his Senate office.
As alleged. And he says that there's more information that is going to come out. He has said that the one thing that people cannot do is rush to judgment based on what is one side of an argument being made from the point of view of the prosecutors.
Yeah, but in the same press conference, like, they said, but what about the gold bars? And he just goes, gotta go, bye. Like, he can't answer for some of this shit.
He said there will be more information later. He had to go take another couple $100,000 out of the ATM because his mom got run out of Cuba.
Yeah, and because America's just like Cuba, like, okay. This is shameless, and I think the indictments are showing enough that at the very least, he's going to be distracted for sure. Like, how can you do this job well while going through the trial? He can always run again after the trial if he gets acquitted or whatever. But he's not going to be able to perform the job well. And just having this indictment out there, like Andrew said, other countries aren't going to trust him. I don't trust him. If his constituents pay any attention at all, they're not going to trust him. He's lost trust through this. So even though I do believe in due process, he doesn't have a right to that seat. And he's just lost so much trust. And it's, he had to have done, like, he was in these meetings. Like, they were in his office. This one's just beyond.
Obey the state. There's no way that this could be, that this could not be 100% true. You should totally give up your life's pursuit because the government said.
Well, here's the thing. Even if it's not 100% true, there's so much in it. Like I said, they have him providing sensitive government data. He's writing a letter on behalf of Egypt to other senators. He's pressuring Agriculture Department officials to help a monopoly business. And we didn't even mention that he pressured two prosecutors to go easy on bribers in two different cases. Like, any one of those individually, you might be able to say, like, oh, okay, like, I don't know. But there's a lot here.
Yeah.
There's a lot here. So even if it's not 100% true, even a fraction of that is so inappropriate for a sitting U.S. senator.
It's like, and you want to know what else? He went on television and bragged about withholding foreign aid until they fired a prosecutor that was going after the monopoly. Oh, wait, no, sorry. That was the president. Sorry.
Hey, yeah. Can I
got my notes mixed up.
I asked this, Jen, off camera last week. I told you, like, I think that you were one of the most articulate and staunch proponents of due process that I know, and I'm really impressed by it. You're something of a lodestar for me in regards to that. When we've talked about the January 6th commission and the people that have been indicted there, when we've talked about Trump, when we've talked about Russell Brand. So noting that, I just like, can you, are you, you're in favor of due process only in a court of law, but you don't want to have it when it comes to employment, or kind of, I'm, by the way, I think Menendez should be fired. I think he should step down. I think that this is overwhelming. If he were a vice president, and I were the CEO and these allegations were here, I would go, this is sufficient to terminate your employment. So I'm on the side you should be kicked out. But when you say that you don't have a right to be a senator, like would you suspend due process for politicians, or just kind of paint for me what this looks like in terms of the political process?
Well, I think you made a really good distinction there of being fired versus resigning. Being fired is an impeachment, which no one is talking about. So that isn't even on the table. I think he should resign because of the loss of trust and the fact that he probably did some of this shit. So if we're talking about resignation, like, that's different than the state or the other senators like pushing him out. Like, literally, like, you can say political calculus that if, you know, Biden and Schumer and everyone says that he has to resign, like, that's a political push. But until they say they're going to impeach the man, they actually can't take his power away from him. So what I'm advocating for is a resignation on behalf of the country to be like, okay, like, I understand how bad this looks. This could damage our country's reputation. This could damage the Congress's reputation. No one's going to trust me. Like, I think he should resign. And I think there's a very big difference in that.
Okay, so no, this is very helpful. You're making an ought statement that Bob Menendez ought to resign. And that this would be coming from him as opposed to like an impeachment process, or if yes. if New Jersey had the ability to recall a senator, there might be something in their state constitution. Okay, thank you. That is helpful.
How about this for a pitch? Bob Menendez will resign if you give him double the amount of gold bars that he got from the Egyptians.
That's a lot.
Just make it worth my while. Come on. I got to get some walking around money. I need to be laden with gold.
By my count, they had at least 13 gold bars, and he kept Googling how much they were worth.
That was one of like, it is a high comedy indictment.
Oh,
like,
my God.
The fact that, yeah, that he's Googling what are the price of gold bars as soon as he gets it.
1,200 an ounce. I don't remember. I don't have enough gold. A couple of things I want to throw out here. We've talked about this a bit previously, but like there's kind of what we might call like soft corruption or gray corruption or very difficult to enforce corruption that also goes on regularly within the United States Senate and Congress. We've spoken about this on the show previously. At present, there is nothing to stop a member of the House or Senate from buying stock, including in things that are governed by their committee. They are required to disclose such purchases. However, they're only required to disclose them within 6 months of purchase, and they don't always do it because there's no enforcement mechanism or it's very low. So I know this, by the way, because there's a financial service called Quiver that all it does is track the portfolios of members of Congress. And I thought, well, that's a good way to make a buck. And then I looked into it, and it's like, yeah, but they only disclose it within 6 months of the purchase.
Yeah.
And then the sneaky way they get around that, from what I can tell, is they go, look, I made this, you know, we voted on the thing, we made the decision, and then I made the transaction a couple hours later. And so, you know, if you were watching all of this on C-SPAN, like just Jen Briney, she's the only person in America who also is aware of these things, then you too could have made these decisions. It's like, well, I'm like that information's not going to immediately hit most Americans. You are in a privileged position for that. And a really simple fix for this would be you can just have index funds if you're in the House or the Senate. You can still have stock, but you're taking stock in the economy as a whole. You're not picking favorites, which also market efficiency hypothesis you shouldn't be doing anyway. Like, just do index funds. That's one thing. One of the other things that people get around, Justin can probably talk more about this than I can because I'm sure he's witnessed it more. Maxine Waters pops into my mind, where Maxine Waters, longtime member of Congress, her husband is her campaign manager / consultant, and several of her members of family are also campaign members / consultants. So they're all drawing I don't know, $300,000 salaries from her campaign coffers. So mm-hmm. She's getting $174,000 a year, or whatever a member of Congress gets. I don't remember if that's the same as the Senate. But her members of family are really getting rich off of her position there. And I look at that and go, okay, that looks like a reasonable stopgap measure we could come up with to try and at least make them work harder for the graft. And then the final thing, and I don't know a whole lot we can do around this, but I do think that just the higher you get in any large institution, it can be government, but it could also be corporations. I think that a sense of shame becomes a hindrance, and that's just something to keep in mind whenever we're looking at big machinations of large institutional structures, that the people at the top are probably the least concerned about shame. So all three of us, if we got caught, hoarding gold bars in a pay-for-play information type thing, we'd at least be embarrassed on the stupidity of it. Like, we'd probably be shamed about the graft, but, like, I, for one, would at least be embarrassed of, like, oh, fuck, I was drunk. I should have watched NCIS. Maybe I could have, you know, but I don't think Bob Menendez has that. I don't think Donald Trump has that. I think that people that are at the top tend to just kind of be shame-proof, and that's something to keep in mind when we're building these systems.
I'm glad you brought up disclosure, too, because once they got married, which was early in this, everything that Nadine received, so her job, the gold bars, the car, all of it was supposed to be reported, and they reported none of it, which also doesn't look very good.
Well, we will see. I got a feeling that Menendez is going to kick and scream behind the scenes. I don't think he is going to go away easily, and I do believe that both the Democratic Party and the Biden administration wants this out of the news as fast as possible, because I do think that there is a narrative here that the Republicans will use to political advantage when it comes to just saying when Democrats run the Foreign Relations Committee, it becomes a pay-to-play operation.
Which is fair. It's a good thing. They should run on that. It's true.
If I'm Biden, I think I would like this. If I'm Biden, I'm going to go, you know, the Democrat, like Jen pointed out earlier, the Democratic Party is policing its own, unlike the Republican Party. And also, this has taken a lot of pressure off of my son, Hunter, in terms of the national spotlight. Oh. This seems to be a good thing for Biden.
Oh, I don't know.
I think when
Justin's pulled out some parallels.
Yeah. Okay. Touche. You're right. There are definitely some parallels here.
When everything is like, and also, and now the Democrats are like, awful, awful, awful. Go away. You need to go away now, please. We want to save this Senate seat. And then it's like, oh, but what about the investigations that's happening in the House? Nothing there. Come on. How good? No proof. Yeah, sure. A few little things. Everybody does it. That's a discordance that politically you can make pay on. Whether or not the Republicans will, who knows? Patreon.com/wearingoutwrong is where you go for our Patreon bonus. 31 people left. Come on. This is it. This is the week. Pony up a buck. You get the bonus episode each and every week. And this week, we're going to be talking about youth athletics. Three childless adults talking about youth athletics and the movement toward restricting speech in youth athletics. The silent soccer games, so as to reduce pressure on children, continue to employ youth sports referees, which are the most thankless job in America, as well as coaches. One American town looking to take that step. We talk about that. And if you've ever listened to the Patreon episodes, folks, they got range. We go all over the place. Head on over there, patreon.com/wearenotwrong. All right, fellow Yanks, you ever get fatigue hearing about these highfalutin Canadians talking about how insane the United States is? Canada, well, it finds itself embroiled in diplomatic and domestic controversies this week, with a dispute escalating over allegations regarding the killing of a Canadian Sikh leader and that murder being linked to Indian government agencies, causing a rift between Canada and India. Concurrently, the Canadian Parliament Speaker, Anthony Rota, stepped down after he honored a man during Vladimir Zelensky's visit to Canada's capital. The only problem is that the man that they honored happened to be a former Nazi serviceman, which created a furor among the public and lawmakers and led the Liberal Party to try to have it struck out of the record yesterday, before the Conservatives opposed it.
I really like the idea that would solve the problem. If you got it struck for the record, no one on social media would be like, oh, fuck, they struck it from the, God damn it, we had a really good point. Oh, well,
yeah.
It's not on the record. We can't do anything.
It's like, oh, this guy honored a Ukrainian military man and had Trudeau and Zelensky clapping for him, only for it to be to realize that he was an actual Nazi. The tension with India has led to a diplomatic crisis. While the domestic turmoil reflects a grave misjudgment in recognizing a Nazi affiliate, raising concerns over historical sensitivities and international relations, both incidents underscore the challenges faced by Canada on the domestic and international fronts. And so it's our turn now, ya hockey-loving hosers. Canada, what the fuck, Heaton?
You know what? I really miss that mayor they had from Toronto from a few years
Rob
back.
Rob Ford.
Rob Ford. That was fun.
Smoking crack on camera. I'll remember to this day a formative moment
and,
of my...
And doing really, really funny, inappropriate accents by today's standards. You're not supposed to be doing like wacky accents of Caribbean people.
So I remember very, very clearly in the aughts, the blog revolution of the aughts, Gawker doing a fundraiser to buy the crack smoking tape. They were like, look, somebody wants to pay us or wants us to pay them like $250,000. We're going to put the word out. Here's our PayPal. Do you guys want to see this crack smoking tape? If you want to see it, then help pitch in. And they bought it and it turned out to be real.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Here's one of the things that I love about Canada. Back when I first was hanging out of the country with any significant amount, I left the country when I was 23 and lived abroad for a year, and I hung out with a lot of Canadians. George W. Bush was president at the time, and so everybody wanted to talk about George W. Bush. And I would go, who's your
prime minister?
The famous painter. But I go, who's your prime minister? And about half the time, they'd have to think about it. And then they'd go, Stephen Harper. And I'd go, this is a great country. This is a great country where the government is working so well, many of the people don't remember the name of their prime minister. That is the sign of a good country, in my opinion. And I think Canada is like a really interesting litmus or a comparison to make with the United States in that in many ways it's more progressive than us. In many ways it's much more localist and states' rights than we are. I think that they actually have a lot more autonomy at the provincial level than the United States does. Have kind of managed to maintain that homeostasis in terms of a federation better than we have. We've moved to this kind of marble cake model where the national government is involved in everything at the municipal and state level. We're not really a federation anymore. We're this kind of hodgepodge. Canada's kind of kept that going. They've managed to do that. And so I like looking at them. I think there's lots of good ideas there. And weirdly, I got to give it credit. I think it just results from the fact that they captured all those Frenchmen. Because back in the day when they captured Quebec and they decided that the deal would be that you could continue being Quebecois, it forced their system of government to really have lots and lots of local rights to it. And I don't know. The other bit, Justin, I'd point out is I think they're what, about a tenth the size of us, and like 90% of the population lives within 30 minutes of Buffalo or something like that.
Yeah.
Like they're all within an hour of the American border. 90% of them, there's 10%. It's one of those things where I wonder if you took Canada and you suddenly multiplied the population by 10, would it be a shit show like us? And I say, yeah, probably would. I think if you took that many people.
Well, then they are certainly punching above their weight. I mean, India is an extraordinarily close ally for them. They have a huge Indian population in Canada. And the prime minister, their head of state, directly said that Indian connected government forces murdered a Canadian citizen on Canadian soil. Like that is no small thing. That would be like Joe Biden saying something like saying that Germany or France killed somebody on American soil.
Or like if Saudi Arabia blew up a couple of our towers.
And we didn't say that.
No.
Well, the thing is about that, it's kind of what everyone was warning about when the war on terror was launched, because India said that this guy, Nijjar, who they, I mean, we don't know if they killed him, but that's what the accusation is. But they designated this guy a terrorist. He was pushing for a Sikh state within India, which is kind of the equivalent of an ISIS situation. So we have gone into other countries in India's neighborhood and bombed their neighborhoods because we said there are terrorists there. And when I say we, Canadians were our partners in all of that shit. And so it's happening the other way around. Now, this wasn't a bomb that took out an entire neighborhood. They killed the one dude. So it's kind of fascinating to me to see Canada's reaction to this being like, how dare you? Even though we've been doing that stuff in the Middle East for two decades.
So usually, though, we call the government, if not the military, and say, hey, we're going to do this. And they
say,
hey,
Modi, it's America. How are you? Liz, we're going to be in the neighborhood on Wednesday. We were going to shoot some terrorists with drones. We have these flying death robots. Is that cool? We just wanted to get. OK, cool. Thanks. We kill them.
And usually there is a straining of the relationship of foreign aid, but there is a transparency there. What Trudeau is reacting to is the fact that they believe this person was murdered by Indian forces and there was not a heads up. There was not a, this just kind of happened. But I do think that in terms of foreign relations, this is like, you know, a Clancy level shit. This is the kind of stuff that starts, you know, a geopolitical thriller novels.
It's a big deal. And India has been kind of trending in the enemy direction for a while. Like, I don't think we're aware because we're told that India is this great ally to the US and Canada, but they have not
World's largest democracy.
That's what they keep saying, even though that's looking like, not really sure about that. There's some shady things going on with their parliament and this Modi guy. We're not entirely sure how he's running elections. So they're democracy-ish, but they're also, they have never participated in a trade agreement with the United States. They're part of BRICS. They're the I in the BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Like, these are countries that are creating an economic partnership that is, they are saying that one of their goals is to de-dollarize. So they're definitely on the other side of us economically. And when it comes to the war in Ukraine, they're doing business with Russia. They're buying weapons from Russia. So it's like this, there's been a trend with India. And I think this is just another step in that direction away from the West. So it's like, yeah, this one is directly with Canada, but it kind of affects all of us. It's just another sign that India is moving away from us.
By the way, India has fought back in terms of the information war on television. A former Indian diplomat cited unsubstantiated rumors that cocaine was found on Prime Minister Trudeau's plane during his recent visit to India for the G20 summit, and that he didn't attend a dinner hosted by the president of India because, quote, he was high.
I'm not rooting for India and Canada to go to war. I'm not rooting for that, but wouldn't that be kind of a crazy week?
Yes, it would be crazy.
It would be pretty kooky. Let's switch to the Nazis.
Also, is India not now the largest country in the world? Did it not go beyond the Chinese population? I think China's like 1.42 billion, whereas India's like 1.48 billion or something like that. Like they're like in the last 3 years, India is now the largest country in the world.
I have no idea.
No clue.
But you don't hear that, do you? Because we got to worry about them Chinese.
Well, they have border skirmishes, so it's not like India's cool with their next door neighbor either. Like, India's just starting shit with everybody right now. They're not cool with Pakistan. Like, they've just got problems.
Well, they haven't been cool with Pakistan since before there was a Pakistan. Like, there is a rich history there. Let's switch.
They're fighting with all their neighbors, and now they're fighting with ours. It's a lot.
Let's switch to the Nazi thing, because. The speaker of their house had to resign because of this. But the only way that I think Kevin McCarthy could be more embarrassed over the last 2 weeks and whatever is going to happen, I don't think that his hell is anywhere near over, considering everything that's happening in the house. But at this point, do you think that he would welcome or refuse the idea of just calling on a Nazi for everybody to cheer for? Like, would that be something that he would welcome as a distraction from everything that's happening, or would he be very sad that he accidentally honored a Nazi?
I think you can make this happen whenever you want, because you just go through the congressional record, control F, Wernher von Braun. And if you ever find any member of Congress who's alive that said anything about Wernher von Braun, congratulations, you liked a Nazi.
Yeah. But they were lousy with him back then. They were all running around.
I, for one, have called for him to resign multiple times.
Wernher von Braun?
Isn't it kind of fascinating, though, to do these stories back to back where you have Bob Menendez doing things that are just so awful to Americans and our American companies and putting us in danger, and he won't resign. And then this guy in Canada puts forward an invitation to a Nazi, apparently on accident, and he does resign. Like, I do think that that goes towards Andrew's point of, like, Canada's probably behaving better than we are at this point.
Well, also, a speaker there means a little bit less. Like parliamentary systems tend to rotate that lottery barrel of balls a little bit faster than our system does.
Well, on top of that, too, I think, like, their speaker's just much less powerful. So, Canadian listeners, I know we have you guys. Feel free to correct me on this, because I would like to know more about our neighbors, and I should probably do an episode.
Wipe the poutine from your spindly little fingers and write us an email.
But most of the action that's happening in Canada on a regular basis is at the provincial level. So, for example, like, Canadian healthcare is not run by the federal government. It's run by the provincial government. The thing that the Canadian national government does insofar as healthcare is it takes care of First Nations, so people that are Indigenous, and it negotiates pharmaceutical prices. But the actual, like, NHS equivalent is happening, you know, in Calgary and Victoria and all of those things. So I'm not sure that the speaker is as big of a deal over there. Like, the Speaker of the House of the United States has tremendous pressure or tremendous power, because Congress is at this point effectively a rubber stamp for the speaker. The speaker doesn't give enough time half the time to actually look at bills. And so we just put together this giant oh shit bill at the end of session that's just whatever the speaker wants. Like, it's a very, very powerful position. And the institution itself has way more power over American affairs than the Canadian parliament has over Canadian affairs, because it's a much more localized country.
Although recent events would challenge exactly how powerful the speaker is. Kevin McCarthy has been swinging on the tail of some of the wildest members of Congress. And I'm sure, by the way, we will get into that at some point. I didn't put it on the docket this week because I don't know where to even begin or end this story. All the coverage is all over the map. The Republicans can't. There was two failed votes over the last 7 days since we did a show, which never happens. Usually speakers do not bring things to votes unless they know they have it. So those
it wasn't even votes on bills. It was votes on the rules to debate a bill.
Begin the debate of the bill.
It's chaos. So
we've got motion to vacate threats. We've got Matt Gaetz's dating history. There's just a million different things that are happening right now. So we will eventually talk about it. We just need some kind of handle on it to have something to talk about. Right now, it is just all an absolute food fight, but the food is Robert's Rules of Order.
Well, and at this point, next Wednesday when we record this, we'll probably be in a shutdown.
We'll talk about the shutdown, which is almost assuredly going to happen on Sunday. All right, anything else on Canada, Heaton?
I had a complete red herring I was interested in, but it would be at best tangential to this topic, so we can move on. Thank you.
Red herrings, one of the chief exports of Canada.
It's on their flag.
We're Not Wrong Pod at gmail.com. Littering and We're Not Wrong Pod at gmail.com. That's where you write into the show. Badass Art writes, the great American art that Heaton was describing is from Sharp Writer on DeviantArt. So Heaton, he was talking about those badass presidential portraits.
Great Reagan riding a velociraptor and JFK on the moon. These should all be in the White House or in the rotunda of Congress, in my humble opinion. It's great.
By the way, let me say this. I was absolutely positive that we were going to get torn to shreds for our Russell Brand takes last week. And we got nothing, literally nothing. Nobody said anything. In fact, we got one email that said, Justin made mention that you guys were going to be underwater with emails about Russell Brand, so I decided not to write about it. That's the only email we got with Russell Brand in it, which indicates to me that our audience is as scared of that story as we were beginning to talk about it. And so I would like to say to you, the audience, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your fear.
Thank you for smelling our fear and having it multiply within you. Defending Menendez writes, while I'm sure that he's probably guilty of the allegations against him, I think the timing of this indictment is awfully suspicious. Right as the dictatorship of Azerbaijan restarts their attacks on the Armenian enclave of Artsakh Nagorno-Karabakh with tacit approval from the Biden White House, at the same time that the most powerful pro-Armenian congressman is indicted, definitely a coincidence, and not just the administration trying to punish one of their own for going against their interest one too many times, a la Madison Cawthorn, Armenian genocide denier Jen Briney. Go.
I am so sick of the indictment trutherism. Like, the raid happened in June of 2022. It had absolutely nothing to do with Armenia or anything. Like, Bob Menendez is pretty passionate about all kinds of wars he wants us to be involved in. So, like, stop it. No, this wasn't Biden trying to do anything about Armenia. Like, stop it. The Justice Department just indicted him. Stop it. Just stop it.
Well, now, Jen, I think you're forgetting. He's Cuban. He's a Cuban exile. And also the bit about Nagorno-Karabakh. So racist.
Yeah. These are racist attacks on Bob Menendez. He's
Great Armenian.
Standing up.
Great
standing
Armenian.
Up. He's going to be linking arms with the Kardashians on Capitol Hill. If you can't call Twitter X, writes, call it Twix.
Hmm. I like that. But I'm still calling it Twitter.
You want to plug your show on Twix?
I'm just not going to call it X. I'm sorry. You don't get to take a fucking letter from the alphabet and make that your thing. Like, X is in equations. Like, X marks the spot. I'm the kind of dude who might have a treasure map to talk about it at some point. I'm not going to say X means Twitter forever. Come up with an alternate. I'll call it that. I would rather call it Twix than X. Twix is fine with me. Let's call it Twix and you can fight it out with a candy bar.
Time for the Heat and Sports Question of the Week! Heaton, the Dolphins kneeling didn't go for the record.
I think for Dolphins to be able to kneel at all is very impressive, given that they're an aquatic mammal. And, you know, if they... they're going to be involved in our sports.
Yeah.
Apparently. Then, you know, going for the record, good. But kneeling, also very impressive. I mean, what do you want from these Dolphins? Like, let's just
But they could have had the record if they didn't kneel.
Okay, let me try a different tack on this.
It had been the record that had been around since, like, the late 50s.
Look, we all want the Dolphins to get the record.
Denver didn't, that
Black Lives Matter is a very heated thing, and it's for a lot of people having Dolphins all simultaneously kneel instead of doing the pledge. But like, does that really need to mitigate against the record? I ask you that, huh? Good question. Heaton brings up, they all kneel for the pledge and then they just get the record anyway. Just do both.
Go. The owner did get suspended for race related issues, got sued for it.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's bad.
You'd still have our money, writes. I think Jen puts too much stock in the platform through which the audience gives her money. I want to assure you that if Patreon or any other platform decided to quote unquote cancel you, you still own your audience to an extreme degree because you have our trust and you own the RSS feed. You tell us where to give you money. Patreon is just a dumb pipe for us to give money to you. Your audience will decide if you'll lose your income, not the platform you're on. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but Jen.
That's actually a really nice thing to say and is quite comforting. To protect myself, to have the separate feed, because I do have I use a Patreon feed, but I actually spent 2 years technologically figuring out how to have that same private feed for everyone else that pays me via paper checks or PayPal or Venmo or Zelle or like whatever else so that everyone can have it. So I already have the infrastructure set up in case that would ever happen. But I guess I never really thought of it that way. I guess one of the concerns, though, is that there's people that are paying but don't regularly listen to the show. And so if Patreon were to kill me, I would absolutely lose money on those people that like what I'm doing but don't necessarily listen and wouldn't even necessarily know that it happened. So, I mean, I guess that's the only concern, but it's nice.
Think about it like a restaurant that you like going to that all of a sudden has a pipe burst above their kitchen. It is not their fault, but they have to close for a couple days. Now, you might think not much of it, except if you were really, really hungry for the food that they were going to cook at the time that you went there, then you would be a little inconvenienced. But the restaurant knows very well that they need to make X amount of money per month, and that any minutes, let alone hours, let alone days, let alone weeks that they are unable to make money is something that is very, very painful for them. So yes, Patreon for some of us are larger percentages of the pie than others. For me, it is an extraordinarily high a piece of the pie.
Yeah, while 90% for me,
we could reconstitute. I do think that that is not impossible for us to move to another platform. It would sure be painful because it would take months, if not years, to get back up to the level that we were at. So number one, this is the biggest thing. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for being able to understand that this stuff is a reality for us. And if we asked you to go from one place to another, that you'd be able to do it. And understand that any weeks, minutes, months, if not years, that we are not doing what we are doing now is pain. And that is the cost of you know, being immediately taken off one platform.
Yeah, I'll echo that. First of all, thank you. And it's a very kind sentiment that the listener sent in to Jen. And that makes me feel warm and fuzzy in general, but particularly for my peer Jen that you've got her back. I'm thinking if everybody shares your sentiment, which I hope they do, there's still going to be a transaction cost to all of this. The amount of emails I get that are like, I've been meaning to sign up on Patreon for the last couple of years. Very well-meaning. And it's a thing where, like, if I were in the room and I was like, you want to touch this button and give me $3, they'd absolutely do it. But, you know, they got stuff to do and they got to go to the website and then, okay, which tier am I going to do? I think that there would just be a very big transaction cost if that happened. It wouldn't be insurmountable. But I think it would take a decent chunk. I'm hoping that Patreon, you know, outlives me. Based on how deleterious that would be to my, you know, 1 year of work, probably.
Louis C.K. Defender writes, I can't imagine anyone listening to Louis C.K. and thought that he really felt that way about their kids or their mom.
So I know Louis C.K. and his kids are shit. He absolutely means that. They're little monsters. I hate them.
Yeah, I would say, look, obviously there is an art to him bringing up, what was a well-worn comedic trope of, anyway, my family did X, my family did Y, and he did the more salty blue version of it. So instead of saying that it was a, how cute my kid did this, it was my kid's an asshole because they won't put their shoes on or they coughed in my mouth. The one thing I would say about, you know, doesn't really thought that he felt that way about their kids and their mom, Louis C.K.'s rise to fame began with him making a lot of jokes about how much of a bitch his wife was. And then he got divorced. So I who knows how much any of that was baked into it. He has since done a lot of jokes about how their divorce has only brought them closer together. But who knows? Art is art. I am not here to read into Louis C.K.'s soul and know what his relationship with his then wife or current kids are. Goal writes, I would absolutely fly to Austin to see Heaton and Jen and Justin at a soccer game. I don't know if it's possible to make such a thing a fan meetup, but if so, I'd like ye. Added bonus if it's against FC Cincinnati. So the good thing about Austin FC is that it's right next to the Domain, which is a huge shopping living complex. So it would not be crazy for us to do a little meetup at the bar there, and then for anybody who's going to walk over to the game, go walk over to the game. Anybody who doesn't, they could watch the game in the bar, and then we would come back to the bar and hang out more. But that's not a bad idea.
I would love it.
This sounds like great fun. Also, it's going to cool down a little bit. Justin and Jen can attest, I am wearing a green seersucker blazer right now.
Yes.
Because of my diehard enthusiasm for the Austin Oak Trees. Go Austin Football Club! Also, isn't our, wait, hold on. Aren't we oak trees? What is our thing?
It's just Austin FC. No, so that's the thing. Soccer is weird.
The sigil.
There is
the sigil's a tree.
The tree, yes. Yeah. So the problem is that with soccer, they don't have mascots or like.
The fuck? They should.
No, they don't though. It's just like Arsenal and Liverpool and Real Madrid and stuff like that. And so it's very tied to the city, but it's not like city and a thing. It's not the San Diego Chargers or the Pittsburgh Steelers or something like that. So just Austin.
Is Austin sigil a tree?
I have no fucking clue.
It seems to me that a tree is a weird thing. Like it would make sense for kind of a goalie because it's like, you can't get the ball past that tree. Hit it as hard as you want. It'll bounce right the fuck off.
Although I will say but MLS is confusing because some of their teams do have those things like the Houston Dynamos. I think there's like the Salt Lake City Rapids. So some of them have it. And then some of the more recent ones are more in line with soccer culture abroad internationally. So they just have the city and then football club.
I think, okay, as a diehard Austin Football Club fan, I think we should change it to the Austin Pollens because that both reflects cedar season and we get in all your crevices.
How hard are you dying for the team? How hard?
Huh?
How hard are you dying for the team?
I will kill myself if we don't win the pennant.
I'll tell you what, match your enthusiasm to his. Comedy Foul writes, I'd be very forgiving of Hasan Minhaj if he had fabricated facts that were self-depreciating and not self-aggrandizing. And then the emailer went on to say that it is weird that we're in a culture now where him telling a story where he gets discriminated against would almost universally be looked at in 2023 as self-aggrandizing and not self-depreciating.
Hey, listener, you succinctly expressed what took me about 6 minutes to put out there. Well done. That in one sentence, you pretty much summed up what took me a lot more blustering to get to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Which is funny because, like, you know, again, one of my favorite Dave Chappelle jokes is him talking about, like, everyday racism and, like, walking up to a place to get food and saying, like, I'll have, and the white guy behind the counter saying, the chicken! And Dave Chappelle working through that process, especially the fact that he was going to order some chicken. And that's a situation where he is the victim of racism, but it was very funny. I think probably because Dave Chappelle's a better comic than Hasan Minhaj.
Well, and also it's a harmless, like the things that Hasan was saying he was a victim of were pretty awful.
Like brute, like they were like, yeah, they were larger, more sinister things than a dude at a chicken joint yelling at somebody.
Yeah.
Pick the Judas. If one of you were to commit an egregious act that gets all three of you banned from Patreon, who would it be and why is it Justin?
I could see it being any one of us though. So like Justin, like I see you getting us in trouble because you intentionally and hilariously do something very funny on Great Night that pushes the envelope. Whereas like, I would completely accidentally do something like there'd be a press conference where I'm like, I didn't know jit was a bad word. What does it even mean? Like there'd be like some accidentally. And then Jen, I see you causing like an international incident where like you somehow like you're traveling abroad and you like end up like, I don't know, like handcuffing yourself to the Argentinian embassy and shouting about arms or something. And like that's how I see that one playing out.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I would say the playbook with a show like ours is that we're all having a really good time until one of us gets really passionate about something that then winds up boiling up to being a gigantic discussion that happens internationally, like all, you know, like youth sports or women in, you know, the transgender issue in sports is a good example where people that had nothing to do with gender conversations before all of a sudden became very dialed in on certain things. And that kind of tends to redefine. So just everybody, we're going to be monitoring our all of us before and after every show. Are there any weird passions that we're going to totally reorient our personality around? And we'll make sure that through therapy and fellowship that that doesn't happen for you, the listener.
One of the games I play when I travel is, would this be a good place to be on the lamb? I've got three or four places in my mind. Probably not going to happen. I don't see it happening. But I got three or four places where if the shit really hit the fan, me and Bob Menendez could fuck off.
There you go.
High on the hog. I'll tell you, gold lasts a long time in Albania.
Finally, Royal Rumble writes, it's worth noting that Rumble, where I assume Brand is making most of his money, has posted an inquiry from the UK's Cultural, Media, and Sports Committee from within Parliament on their Twitter. The committee wanted to know if they would be joining YouTube in demonetizing Brand's content. I agree that these allegations are serious and deserve to be treated as such, but this certainly adds fuel to his the powers that be are trying to come after me narrative.
Yes, it does.
I don't want to get any more emails. So that's going to be it. But if you would like to write us an email, you can do so. We're Not Wrong Pod at gmail.com. We're Not Wrong is a production of Dog and Pony Show Audio. Our editor is the inimitable Will Saddleberg. Heaton, obviously you have adults are talking. That's the primary thing that people should go pay attention to. Anything else that you want to point them to?
That's the main thing. Go check that out. And in fact, if you watch the Political Orphanage, or excuse me, you listen to the Political Orphanage this week, you will be hearing the extended cut of the interview on the show anyway. So on Adults Are Talking with Andrew Heaton, which you should go check out, I talk with Michael Malice for maybe 20, 25 minutes about his book, The White Pill and the Fall of the Soviet Union. On the Political Orphanage is our hour-long chat. And so you're kind of getting it either way.
All right. Jen, the dish.
Jen is in the middle of her 2-week episode cycle, so I still have the episode up about the organ transplant system, which I still think is a really good episode, and I re-recorded it, so the sound quality is better, so listen to that. But honestly, I think you should go check out Andrew's new show, Adults Are Talking. That is what is worth your time this week.
Oh, yes, and I would third that, and if you want the recap of the RNC debate, which is happening on Wednesday, then please go ahead to PX3 for that. Till next time, for Jen Briney and Andrew Heaton, I'm Justin Robert Young. We're not wrong.
Dog and Pony Show Audio.